You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wonderful, majestic world around us. It's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Today we are joined in the studio by our expert, Dr. Kushla McGovern. Kia ora, Kushla.
Kia ora.
Hi. So, today, what's going on with Galapagos tortoises?
So this is really cool. I didn't realise, but some Galapagos tortoises actually have a migration pattern. Why this surprises me, because if anyone knows, the Galapagos Islands is it's a volcanic archipelago in the Pacific Ocean. So it's a series of islands. So, and the Galapagos tortoises were actually instrumental in informing the development of the theory of evolution, because across these different islands, you get slightly different versions of these tortoises. And so, because they've evolved slightly differently. So I was like, where are they migrating? Like, what is this? And turns out that on this island, Santa Cruz, on the western side, you get this migration of the tortoises from the lowlands to the highlands.
Mm.
Basically, in January to May, where there's a lot of rain and it's warm, the lowlands have a lot of vegetation that the tortoises can chow down on and live quite happily. But when it goes from into the more cool and dry seasons, June to December, some of the tortoises will actually migrate up the side of the island to the top, to the highlands, to get to the better food source.
Mm.
And like, if anyone's checked out the Galapagos tortoises at Auckland Zoo, you see that they're massive, right? Like, they're big lumbering things. So you're like, the idea of these tortoises trekking up to about 400 meters above sea level, some of them, yeah. I find is quite amazing. But where it becomes really interesting is that there were a group of researchers that decided to do some tracking of these tortoises. They started in 2009, so it was a while back that they started, and they attached GPS trackers to 25 of these adult tortoises. And they had looked at some Google Earth imagery, and they'd seen that what they thought were the tortoise tracks, and they all seemed to follow pretty similar tracks. And what they found with these GPS trackers is actually what was happening is that they were kind of following the same path, because they were going through gaps in this forest. So between the highlands and the lowlands, there is this stretch of forest that's got like basically three small paths through it where there's no trees. And that's where the tortoises were going. Of the 140 migratory journeys that they followed using these trackers, only about 8% of these journeys actually went through the forest. And so they're like, this is kind of interesting. Why aren't these tortoises going through the forest? And they think it's because there's a few reasons. On the edge of the forest is blackberry bush. And so if you've ever got caught in a blackberry bush, it's kind of a bit of a tangle. So you can imagine these tortoises don't want to try and go through this. Also, tortoises are what are called ectotherms, so they're cold-blooded. They need the sun to kind of warm up, right? And so if you're in a forest and it's all shady, that's not really going to work out so well. And the other thing is this type of tree that makes up this forest, Cedrella, it's actually, like, it's giving a lot of shade, so there's not a lot of vegetation maybe growing on the ground, but it also releases chemicals that mean that other plants just don't grow. And so that's what they think, you know, these are the reasons that these tortoises don't go through. And why this is really interesting and potentially really problematic for the tortoise population on this island of Santa Cruz is that this forest is made up of the Cedrella forest trees, which is an invasive species. And they think that they're actually likely to continue to spread. So they could basically, the trees could move into these paths between and cut off the highlands, basically, from the tortoise population, which means that then they're not going to get as much food all year round, and so then they're not going to breed as much. And because these things are really long-lived, like, they can easily live more than 100 years, it could take us a really long time to understand the effect of this. The other really interesting thing is this tree, the Cedrella tree. So in the Galapagos, it's invasive. It's an alien species. But in continental Southern America, it's actually considered a vulnerable species. It's been so over-harvested. Like, it's a really good timber for furniture, it turns out. And so there's kind of this tension also where people that live on the island use the timber for furniture. And so you can't just cut it down. It's, you know, so you've got to consider what are they going to do? Like, are they going to just cut paths in the future if they come get, you know, the trees start spreading in and cutting off the tortoises from the highlands? Or, you know, what other measures do they take? And so now this is a paper that's given some really good data that they can then start looking over time and to better understand the effects of what this happens. And this, you know, like, has implications for these tortoises, but it's also a really nice example of this idea of you need to have long tracks of national park for species to survive or live how they normally live. Because you think about long distance migration, right? You get these, you know, in Africa, there's the famous examples of the wildebeest and the zebra, and they migrate for hundreds of kilometres and that sort of thing. And if you only have pockets of national park, that can't happen. So what some countries are starting to do now is they join up their national parks so that you can get these long tracks. Bhutan is a country that's famous for doing this. And so this is kind of a nice example where just within the island they can show in this small area that you kind of get this thing happening. And it also, because these tortoises are so big, they actually describe them as biological bulldozers, which I found quite cool. And it's with their movement, they churn up the ground so much, they carry seeds and everything. So not only will their population decline if they can't go from the lowlands to the highlands and back again, but then it might also have wider effects on the ecology.
All right. Thank you, Kushla, for coming in today. Thank you, Mosat, and thank you, Science.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to Mosat, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.